Hello again, and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and in studio today we have Deputy Fire Chief Harry Wilkins with us to talk about things that are very important, especially, well, every time of year, but we like to talk fire safety because prevention is so much the most important thing in all of this. Obviously, you guys are here in case. We'd love to have you sitting around doing nothing because we've prevented everything by being smart. Obviously, that's not realistic, but we want to do our part and help out because I know that you guys, it puts other people in danger. And so that's part of what you guys do is to inform and keep people aware of what's going on. But obviously the long weekend is kind of the first camping weekend of the year in May. How was the weekend? Were you guys busy or was everything kind of low key?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us, Scott. I really appreciate it. As you said, the education, the prevention side of it, that's where we like to start, is if we can educate people, hopefully we can prevent something from happening down the line. Yes, the long weekend, it's usually that first weekend where everybody heads out to the cabin and, you know, opens up the doors for the first time of the year. And it's important that, you know, people not only do fire safety at home, but they also need to do fire safety at the cabin as well. And that means, you know, checking your smoke detectors, making sure you have smoke detectors in the cabin. They're just as important there as they are at home. You know, fires can start anywhere. So it's important that, you know, they're working properly, the batteries are changed. Also, it's a good idea to have that carbon monoxide detector there as well. So, you know, if we have it in our homes, we needed to have them in the cabins as well.
Yeah.
As for the long weekend, it was a good weekend. The trucks stayed in the hall.
Good.
So that means, you know, everybody was fire safe over the long weekend, and that's what we like to have.
Well, lots of things going on. I mean, a lot of people getting into seeding, into getting things ready in the farms around town here. I know grass fires, you start to see them a little bit, but you also see farmers doing controlled burns. Lots of stuff happening. How does that work? Is that something that you encourage people to let you know when they're doing that?
Well, what'll happen is when people do a controlled burn, there's a toll-free number for the whole province, and that number goes to dispatch. The number is 1-866-404-4911. So what happens is a farmer, for example, if he's we have a lot of unharvested crop in the area. I think there was one of the numbers I heard was over 1 million acres province wide.
Really?
So
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of crop out there. Some of it is salvageable, some of it's not. So basically, what's going to happen now is the farmer's going to have to burn that off.
Yep.
You know, hopefully today with 80 kilometer gusting winds, you know, hopefully the matches stay in the pocket. But, you know, when it does happen, if the farmers call that toll-free number, that number is answered by our dispatchers. And what they'll do is they'll take a land location, then basically all the information that the farmer has, who it is, and when they're going to start burning, how long they're going to burn for. And basically they'll make a note of that. So if somebody's passing by in a vehicle and sees a big prairie fire, if they call 911, the information that they give the dispatcher, the dispatcher brings that up and says, yes, that's a controlled burn in that area. And then we're not sending unnecessary resources to that call. Now, if the farmer calls 911 and says, my fire just got out of control on me, then dispatch, you know, has that information. It cuts down a little bit of time to get us dispatched to that area.
Well, that's good to know because I know that it's happened every once in a while. I know a lot of farmers are working hard and working diligently, but again, you know, you get a gust of wind that kind of changes everything and it can get out of control, I'm sure, quickly.
Yep, for sure. And it's about preparation, making sure that they've plowed a fire guard around the field or whatever area that they're about to burn. You know, if they're just burning some grasslands off as well, it's important that they plow up a fire guard barrier so that in the event it creeps away on them, you know, hopefully it slows it down or you know, once again, a little gust of wind comes up, and then all of a sudden it's spread a little further than where they wanted it to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that you guys do, you stick to close to Yorkton for some of this, but I know that some of the, we talked about this with different volunteer fire departments and things that that go on. I'm sure the rural communities being closer to the farms are a little busier. Do you help out with that at all?
Yes, we have mutual aid agreements with the surrounding fire departments in the area. So if they'll have the initial call in their area, and mm-hmm. if it gets to the point where they need assistance, we will go and assist them, or you know, anybody else in that area will go and assist them as well. So
has it been a busy year for that? It seems like there's been a few more than maybe other years.
The rural departments have been a little bit busier than normal. You know, once again, like I say, with all that extra crop laying around that's not salvageable, the only way to get rid of it sometimes is obviously to burn it off. So it does have that tendency to get away and create a little bit more work for everybody.
Now, when it comes to the general population, are there ways that we can be prepared? Because, I mean, we're green out here, but we haven't had some rains in a while. What are the situations out there right now? Is it dry? Is it wet? And what can we do to be aware and prepare for this?
Right now, it's fairly dry. A lot of the lawns are just starting to green up. I mean, there's been a few lawns that have been green for a couple of weeks now, but mm-hmm. some of the empty lots I've noticed around town, there's still a lot of brown in them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously brown to us is very dry conditions. Mm-hmm. So what we worry about is motorists driving in their vehicles, the people who smoke. You know, if they don't use the ashtray, they flip it out the window. You know, obviously that has that potential to spread some or to create a fire. So, in the tall grass, same thing with around our homes. You know, some people choose not to smoke inside their home, but they'll go outside, which is fine. But you know, it's about ensuring that those cigarette butts are contained in an ashtray or some type of container that they're not going to tip over and cause a fire.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Lots of things to be aware of, especially this time of year in town and around the area. And I know people, especially with some of the nice weather coming up, people are going to want to be outside in their yards, maybe using the fire pit. What are some of the rules that you have towards using fire pits in town?
Fire pits are regulated to a 3-foot diameter, 36 inches around. We don't allow big tractor rims or mm-hmm. anything like mm-hmm. that. We only allow seasoned wood to be burned in these fire pits. So that means you can't be burning your garbage or any other mm-hmm. refuge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's regulations for the location of them. You know, we recommend that you don't build your fire pit any, you know, closer than 10 feet to any structure, be it a garage or a deck, house, fence, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. We want, you know, about 10 feet of clearance. Obviously, we don't want it built underneath a tree because, you know, over time, you know, even though that tree might have some moisture in it, over time, if you have enough fires, it'll dry that tree out and obviously create a fire. There needs to be a screen over top of the fire pit as well. And the most important thing is you need to have a fire permit, which it's $20 a year and it goes for the whole year, the fire pit. If we as the fire department get a call down at the station for, you know, a nuisance fire, I guess is what we call them, and you don't have a fire permit, you can receive a fine under the City of Yorkton bylaw.
Wow, that's obviously that's a much cheaper alternative, and it makes sure that you've got it in the right spot under the guidelines. I mean, because nobody wants to be the cause of a fire that causes property damage. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Really, a way to again prevent something else from happening.
Yep, it's about keeping the grass cut and maintained around that fire pit as well. You know, if you notice that the grass is drying out, then obviously you should take a garden hose and water the lawn a little bit, just mm-hmm. so that everything stays wet and that it doesn't create a fire.
You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Scott Fitzsimmons talking with Deputy Fire Chief Harry Wilkins from the Yorkton Fire Department. And it's definitely a busier time this year when it comes to a lot of different things, and we're going to keep you up to date on that. We'll be back with more right after this on All You Ever Wanted to Know. We're back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Scott Fitzsimmons talking with Deputy Fire Chief Harry Wilkins from Yorkton here. And one of the things I know that a lot of people, the big thing is questions. If you have any questions about fire safety, about a plan, I know we'll probably talk about that again in the new school year, because that's always a big thing that is exciting for the kids to be a part of. But if people have any questions, how can they find out more about how to keep their place safe, about some of the regulations, or even to get a permit to have a fire pit?
They can drop by the fire station anytime, Monday to Friday. We have regular office hours, 8 to 4:30. And even after, 4:30, even after admin hours, the guys are, if they're there, they can issue permits or, just whenever. I mean, we're open 24/7. It's mm-hmm. not like we ever close. So it's just a matter of coming down and buying those permits. Questions, if there's ever questions, people can call the office lines and we'll get you some answers for those questions. We do have information pamphlets mm-hmm. Down at the office of everything from fire extinguishers to babysitters, if they're going their first time babysitting, we have some pamphlets on how to stay safe in that way. We do have pamphlets on escape plans. And that's the thing when it comes to escape plans, we'll make recommendations. If somebody comes to us with a fire plan that they've sat down with the family and looked it over, by all means, bring that down. We can look at it and say, yes, that'll work, or we can make some suggestions. So we won't tell anybody exactly what to do and how to do it, because we don't know if that'll actually work in their home. So we're there to assist any way we can. So the platoons are each assigned a school. Mm-hmm. They go in and they do fire prevention throughout the whole year. It's not just during fire prevention week or anything like that. The crews go in there as often as they can, and then they get involved with a lot of the school activities.
Well, that's good to hear. I know that you guys do a lot in the community, and we appreciate you, and thank you so much for being here to talk about this. So once again, if people are doing a controlled burn, I'm sure most people know to make that call, but just in case, what's the phone number for anyone that wants to register a controlled burn?
The number for a controlled burn is 1-866-404-4911. And I will sit here and say that it does work. We actually, I took a call at the office the other day from a dispatcher who had taken a reported burn, but a passerby had called it in. And what the dispatch did was they called me just to confirm that, that was the location of that fire. So it does work. Mm-hmm. And, having that in place, we didn't send out trucks unnecessarily, so we were still able to stay in station in case something else, more emergency, come up. So
yeah, absolutely, that'd be not a great situation if you got resources out in the field when something else happens and you need to respond to. So
yeah, for sure,
wonderful. Thank you so much again for being here. Always great to talk to you, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Scott.
Once again, Deputy Fire Chief Harry Wilkins from the Yorkton Fire Department. And again, don't hesitate to call or check with anything that you have questions about when it comes to fire safety. That is it for us for today. Coming up next, it is the All Request Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.